If you make everything game-like, you are prepared for the game. That is the biggest way you can translate your practice to games. A lot of people ask me this. How can I get my hitting to be just as good in a game as it was in practice? You make it game-like. You put challenges out there. You don't need a coach to tell you, hey, now it's time to focus on game-like reps. No, this comes from you, my friend. If you want to translate this, you have to be able to go into your hitting, your defense, whatever piece you're working on, and say, you know what? I'm here to get an out on defense. I'm going to make this play, and I'm going to make it look good. Hey, I'm Ashley Agle. Some of you might know me as Ashley Burkhart, and I'm a former D1 and professional softball player who spent a few years coaching in the college game before deciding to put all of my focus into youth softball players and helping them make their dreams and their goals happen for them. It's our job to help them unleash their potential and become the athletes they've always dreamt of. I come from a small city in the Midwest and didn't let that stop me from making my goal of playing D1 softball a reality. No matter where you live, you have the tools to help you thrive, and I am hoping through this podcast to help you get there. On this podcast, you'll learn from Olympians, Hall of Fame coaches, and elite players what their journeys have been like, and you'll also learn from me and my family a bit of our journey through the game. I'm so excited to have you here, so whip out your notebook and let's learn how we can grow in this game together. Welcome to When the Cleats Come Off. Welcome back, or welcome to another episode of When the Cleats Come Off. I'm inspired this week. Very inspired because I just came from watching a team that I love and respect, especially because of the coaches. They invited me to a practice. And I was like, you know what? I just kind of want to be a fly on the wall. And they were like, just interject whenever you see something. Let's talk through it. And I was like, I love this. Which made me want to record an episode on how to attack your next practice, because everywhere you're going to have athletes that are going through the motions. You're going to have some athletes that are really pushing and testing their limits at practice. And between the two, you know which one is going to get to their goals faster. You know which one is going to make the biggest impact on their team and for their own game. So I wanted to devote an episode to this. We're going through six just ideals and things to think about when you're going into your next practice to really focus on and really hammer when it comes to your game and how you can really level it up. Because giving half of your effort will only give you half of the result that you actually are looking for. Half your potential will only be found if you give half effort. So first and foremost, let's just make sure we talk about effort, because you have control of that. Everybody knows this. You can control your attitude and your effort, but let's actually look at what does that effort look like today. All right. Now, before we even get into that, I know sometimes you're going to be sick. Sometimes you're going to be hurt. Sometimes you're just not going to be feeling 100%. And that is normal. You're not going to feel 100% every day, right? And we've talked about this before, but the more you show up, the better you're going to become, even when you don't feel your best. It's the rule of thirds. We've talked about it before. A third of the time, you're going to feel amazing and, you know, untouchable, unstoppable, and it's going to be incredibly good. And then a third of the time, it's going to feel like it's average. It's normal. It's, you know, there weren't too many ups or downs. It's kind of just, you know, in the middle. And then a third of the time, it's going to feel like awful. You're going to feel terrible and you're going to feel like you're going backwards and it was just not a good day. And I'm here to tell you that this is completely normal. This is the rule of thirds when it comes to training. And just understand you're not going to be at your best every single time you touch the field, but keep showing up and keep giving 100% of what you have. You have control of that. So if you only have 60% because you just came off of, let's say, a really tough basketball game, and the next day you have a 3-hour practice with your softball team and your legs are tired, they're toast, man. Like, they have been through a lot. You're not going to be at 100% that day. Most days we're not fully at 100%, right? But just understand that you can give 100% of what you have. So maybe your swing doesn't have a little bit more of those legs that you typically have. It doesn't have that power that you typically have. But you can give 100% of what you got left in the tank. That is the biggest thing I want you to take away from today. You have control of that. By the way, I love watching and leading practices because you kind of get a mix of everything. You can see who's all in and who feels good. And then the players that maybe just don't feel like they have it that day. Now, I hope this isn't something that I see that is happening every week with some of these players, but I saw the whole shebang at this practice. There were some players locked in, ready to go, and they made everybody around them better, right? And I think everybody should have that goal, even if you're not at 100%. But I did see a couple that were kind of just like going through the motions. And that is typical. I've been there. And there have been days where I feel like I'm kind of going through the motions too, not just with softball, but with other things. So this is just a wake up call. Okay. Whether you're, you know, you don't need help with this area, whether you do, like, let's just talk about it. And hopefully this motivates you to attack your next practice and truly get the most out of yourself because of it. All right. The first thing that you have control over to attack your practice is get there early. Okay. I was not someone who really got to practice early. Unless I was in college and we had to run sprints if we weren't early. That's another story. But get there early. Here are some things you can take advantage of when you are early. One, you can bond with your teammates. You can get to know the person that plays to your left and your right and get to know them better. You can get extra reps in that extra time. So let's say you get there 30 minutes before practice, and that seems crazy, right? You're probably the only person there if you're 30 minutes early. But if you have a tee and a net in your car, which I feel like we all do at this time, then you can pop up, you know, and hit a couple balls into that net and go over maybe what you were doing in your last practice with your hitting coach. Maybe you're just getting some extra warm-ups in with your arm because you just learned this thing from high-level throwing. They're really good at teaching throwing mechanics. Maybe there's this thing you want to try. Maybe you just kind of goof off and just like play catch and hit with your brother who came to practice. Like, these are times you can get in extra reps without actually thinking about it. You kind of just do it. There's no pressure around it. Nobody's watching you. It's just time to get your job done, get your work done. So you can get in some extra reps on some of those things that can really move the needle on your game. You also, a perk of being early is you're not rushing. Nobody does things well when they're rushing. I certainly don't. If I am rushing from one place to another, which I typically am with kids these days, I never am my best self when I arrive at my destination. So if you really want to get the most out of the practice in front of you and you're early and you don't have to rush from XYZ, like your heart rate's not going crazy, your blood pressure's probably not super high, like you're there and you have control over how you can prepare. If you're showing up to things late all the time, I'm really speaking to myself here. If you're showing up to things late all the time, don't expect yourself to be stellar. Don't expect yourself to be at your best. Okay. Now, eventually I find myself in my flow, but what if we could have our flow at the very beginning? Just saying. All right. Number two, intentional warmups. Every single team is going to have some sort of warmups going on. And to be honest, most coaches don't watch this part, which I'm going to highly encourage coaches listening, please watch this part because your athletes need to be intentional with what they're doing. And if they are kind of too loosey-goosey going through their warmups and they're not truly getting their muscles and their bodies warm, they are at a higher risk of getting hurt. And you don't want that. Your team doesn't need that, right? You care about your players, right? So make sure your team is intentional and you are watching them be intentional with warmups. That doesn't mean they can't chat. That doesn't mean they can't talk to the person to their left and their right, see how they're going, see how their boyfriend's doing, whatever. That's fine. You can still get your work done, especially a warmup, which is, it is a little looser. And you can get to know your teammates, but you should be intentional with what stretch am I doing and how should I be doing this effectively? Okay. Too many times I see warmups where players are kind of just like, you know, they're doing a quad stretch and they're just like barely holding their foot and like they're kind of not worried about their posture at all. And it's like, did you really stretch your quad? No, you didn't. And now you're about to go sprint here in like 10 minutes and who knows what could happen. We do not want to leave that up to chance. And we are at an all-time high when it comes to athletes being injured right now. So let's take this part seriously and decrease our risk of injury because of it. Get your body primed for what's to come. Truly, if you take advantage of an intentional warm-up, you will get more out of yourself from the very beginning, okay? And don't you want to be at your best, like as long as you can during practice? You don't want to be like half loose and then halfway through the practice, oh yeah, you're finally hitting your stride. Come on, you could have actually gotten so much better in the first half of practice if you took your warmups intentionally. And coaches, if you're just like, yeah, stretch a little bit and we'll go, this is where I'm going to put it on you to give them intentional warmups. You know, this is easy to look up on YouTube. I'm sure Meg Rem, who we've had on the podcast before, has come up with a good warmup. I, a long time ago, put out a hitting warmup that I do with my athletes all the time. Maybe this will prime me to go put out a video soon about warming up, but be intentional. Make sure you're hitting all of your muscles and make sure you're taking that throwing seriously from beginning to end. Again, this is just how you're going to avoid injury, but also like be more primed and ready to get the most out of yourselves. Number three is one of the most important. At a practice, it is so important for you to communicate, okay? Specifically talking about defense here, because this is where there's a lot of communication that should be happening on the field. If you take this seriously, you are going to have more trust, more accountability, and it's going to take stress off of you. Like truly, if you are a pitcher and you are communicating with your shortstop and you're like, hey, I'm throwing her low. Like I'm trying to get you a ground ball here. Like be ready. That makes the shortstop be like, okay, like this ball might come to me. Let's go. You continue to communicate with your team and not just the fluff of like one out, two outs. Yes, we should always be talking about the outs, but follow it up with, hey, got your back. Let's go. Because if you're taking initiative, especially the players that have, you know, 100% in the tank that day, and they're taking initiative and they're getting their teammates primed and ready for the next ball, aka those are your leaders out there, then your entire team's going to have the energy to be like, all right, let's go. Give me the ball. Right? But this doesn't come. A lot of times I see it. There's less communication when there's high level stress. Okay. So if you're playing 21 outs and players like that know what 21 ounces is, their heart probably just sunk to their stomach. 21 outs is basically you're given 21 balls and you have to get 21 outs with those 21 balls. So everybody on the field is going to get a ball or two. And your job is to field it cleanly and get an out. And it's not always an out. Like if the outfielder gets a ground ball, it's just field it cleanly, get it in. That's one of them, right? So the key is you have to do 21 clean balls in a row. And to be honest, that is a very stressful environment. And if I were doing this on defense, the last thing I would be thinking about is doing communication. But you guys know when you have an entire dugout cheering for you when you're up to bat, like you feel that energy and you feel better, right? That same thing can apply on defense. Make sure you are talking to your left fielder, your right fielder, your catcher. That catcher should probably be the biggest communicator on the field because you can see everything, right? And everybody listens to you. But really, really focus on that communication piece. The faster you realize that it's less about you out there and it's more about your team, the better. The less you can focus on yourself, the more selfless you can be out there, the more you can focus on the people to your left and your right. It becomes more about, let's make this play for my teammate instead of, oh my gosh, I have to get this done or I'm going to get in trouble, right? No, make the play for your team. Taylor Shoemaker just said this last week on the podcast in the recording we did, and she always says when she's in a stress mode. And when she's struggling, she literally just focuses on what can I do for my team? And to be completely honest, this communication piece is what you can be doing for your team. And you have full control over this piece. I put an exclamation point next to this point, but what you need to be doing is pouring your energy into your teammates. Because whenever I felt like I really struggled up to bat, the sooner I could be on that fence, really cheering for my teammate, the next girl up to bat, and just like pouring my energy into her, whether it's in passing before she's up to bat again, or just pouring it all into her. When she finds success, I start feeling better. I start stressing less about myself and focusing more on my team. Pat Murphy came on this podcast and talked about mudita, having the selflessness to care just as much about your teammate as you do yourself when it comes to success. Even if you're the second baseman and you're sitting the bench because you didn't get it done last game, and there's somebody else at second base, being able to pour energy into that person and be like, you got this. Having that just love and respect for your teammates, like, is truly going to allow your team to elevate. Okay. So it all starts with pouring energy. So if you feel like you're struggling, pour energy into another person. I guarantee you're going to start feeling better. Number four, go all out. I shouldn't even have to talk about this. But again, we talked about give 100% of what you have, right? But do you think Sis Bates became Sis Bates, one of the best defenders to ever play the game, without stretching her limits on defense? I'm going to challenge you. Even if you have a 1% chance of getting to a ball on defense, go for it. You never know if it can find your glove. And you never know if it could if you don't go hard for it, right? Play everything game-like, absolutely everything game-like. If you're a first baseman and you are receiving, you should focus on making everything look like it's a bang, bang play, and you stretch and you stretch and you stretch and you stretch. And you, your job as a first baseman, I'm speaking to you because I was you, is to make your entire defense look good. If it was a bad throw, you still make it look good. You make that pick look clean. You stretch for that ball, you get the out, but you also try to stick it and make it look good. Like, get it in your glove. I had a third baseman in college whose ball always tailed towards the first baseline. I had to figure out how to make her look good. Sometimes I had to get off the bag and catch it and then tag the runner. Again, this comes with practice, but like, if you make everything game-like, you are prepared for the game. That is the biggest way you can translate your practice to games. A lot of people ask me this. How can I get my hitting to be just as good in a game as it was in practice? You make it game-like. You put challenges out there. You don't need a coach to tell you, hey, now it's time to focus on game-like reps. No, this comes from you, my friend. If you want to translate this, you have to be able to go into your hitting, your defense, whatever piece you're working on, and say, you know what? I'm here to get an out on defense. I'm going to make this play, and I'm going to make it look good. I'm going to do it perfect. Okay? Now, I know sometimes perfection can kind of eat at us, but like, if you go out there and you say, oh, give me the ball. Like, this is how the best became the best. They imagine themselves on the field, on this professional stage, making this play, making this out. I can't remember exactly who it was or what team he was on, but there was this Major League Baseball player who was like, I imagined my first at bat, like in a professional uniform, in like a big dog uniform, not just like single A, double A. And he goes, I imagine myself getting a hit to right field and I smoked it down the right field line. He did exactly that because he has imagined this happening for him over and over in his head. At practice, he put himself in those shoes. So he had already been there once he reached that incredibly pressure-filled stage and he did it. Okay? You have the potential to do this. This is where you tie in your mental and your physical. Like, physically, you're told what to do in practice, yes. But mentally, can you attack a practice and be like, everything is a game. Like, every rep has a purpose, has an intention. Can we jump in and do that? I truly think we all could, but sometimes you need a little wake-up call to do it. If you want to be the best version of yourself, right, which is what we should be striving for, the best version of ourselves, then it is required that you bet on yourself, yes, but you also show up to practice and put yourself in a game. Pretend like everything's a game. Go win. Go beat people out. You're there to beat people at practice. I know they're your teammates, but like, beat them out. You're running sprints because you're in trouble. Beat out everybody in that sprint. You're sprinting from first to second because you're helping catchers get reads. You beat her to the bag. It, one, makes you better. Two, makes her better. Do you see how this works? We all rise. Oh, shoot. I better get this quote right. We all rise to the level of our... Oh, crap. I'm going to have to look this up. Hang on. All right. I can't find like this specific quote, but I'll stick with this one today. Like, we rise by lifting others. So if you're constantly rising and finding like a new level for yourself, people around you are going to be inspired to go do the same. Okay. So we rise by lifting others. And no, that was, oh, all the boats in the harbor rise. Ugh, gosh, I'm gonna have to look up that other quote. I'll probably post it on my social medias, but we rise by lifting others. So really push yourself, go all out. You inspire other people around you to go do it. And also, it kind of leads to my number 5 point. Every rep should have intention behind it. Okay. If you're going up to bat and you're getting like 8, you're being told, I have 8 front tosses to go hit. 8. Okay. And if you just go in there and you're like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and it's like no intention behind it, did that make you better? Absolutely not. Probably made you worse. Okay. But if you're told you get 8 balls, that is 8 opportunities to go do something with that ball. Okay. Swing with a plan. Have a purpose. On defense, what's your purpose? Make it look clean, right? You're probably working on fundamentals mostly when you're getting just a bunch of reps on defense. Make it look pretty. Get as close to perfect as possible by not making the same mistake twice. Have a goal and make adjustments between reps. That is how you're going to make every rep have intention and every rep be able to translate to a game. Okay, this last one, I really think you could attack a practice by what you do during and post practice in a journal. Okay? 1, your practice, whether it's on defense or hitting, just specific to your defensive position, you should have a specific focus. So if you're throwing bullpens, you shouldn't, yes, you're probably going to hit on a lot of different elements of pitching, but like, what's the big thing that's going to move the needle for you to focus on that day? Maybe it's your spin. Maybe it's really focusing on the spin. Maybe it's really focusing on your drive off the mound, right? I really recommend going into a practice, choose one of those elements. Again, as a hitter, if you know you struggle with that high pitch a little bit, make your intention to like find a line drive on every high pitch I get, right? Yes, you're going to work on other pitches, but like if you can be intentional and have a focus and a plan when you go into practice, again, it's just going to help you be able to move that needle closer to the goals that you have for yourself. So write down what is your focus of the day, and you can do this before practice. A lot of times hitters that I work with in the cages, in my virtual hitting academy, I'll say, hey, when you go into your practice and you get some extra reps, or let's say you're getting front toss, I really want you to hammer, you know, focusing on that back elbow, you know, stand tight. Or I really want you to focus on splitting the floor between your feet, like really get grounded that way. And I have them take that focus and that attention and even some of those drills into practice so they can keep getting reps on it. So that's where I want you to think about, like, what's your focus? Then what drills did you do? Okay. What are some drills that coaches gave you? I think it's always good to write them down because, you know, when you're at home, sometimes it's hard to figure out what am I going to work on this week? But hey, you can write down some of these drills and be like, oh yeah, we really worked on footwork here. I'm going to go work on that. It just, again, gives you almost like a library of things to be able to go and work on. Then the thing that I want you to do, especially post-practice, is I want you to write down 3 things that you did well. If you can think of more, great. We want to boost our ego a little bit. Think about, oh my gosh, that diving play that I made was really good. Or man, when I communicated with my pitcher, she immediately lit up and pitched really well after that. Like these are things that you can do and focus on. So I want you to write down the things that you did well, because a lot of times we forget about that. We're our biggest critic, right? So make sure we're feeding ourselves the good first. Then I want you to dissect each part of your game, hitting and defense, and write down at least one thing, like the big thing, in those areas that you could have done better, okay? Maybe the backhand really ate you up that day. Maybe first base, you really struggled finding your rhythm and your stretch. Maybe catching, your blocking wasn't that good that day. But write down the things that you could have done better. And now that is your homework when you go home and put in some extra reps that week. Just hammer that thing. That's why I want you to limit it to 1 or 2 things, because I don't need a laundry list of 45 things. I need just like the big heavy hitters so you can go put in work after practice on that. And then after you write down the things that you could have done better, I want you to write just any light bulb moments, any things that clicked with you that day, ironically, as I'm clicking my pen, anything that just truly felt, you know, good, maybe as a little, I call them light bulb moments because it's like, oh man, like that felt good. I want to keep doing that. You can write down light bulb moments, cues that maybe your coaches gave you that you really liked, just things to write down. And the reason why we write these down, my friends, is because we forget things so quickly. I forget things even more quickly now that I'm still postpartum trying to figure out what the heck am I going to eat for lunch. I forget things so fast. We also, I think everybody forgets things. But if you write it down, you are less likely to forget it, more likely to remember it in a time of need. Okay, so please, please, please write it down. And later on, I'll share, actually in the show notes, I'll put the Always Grind 365 journals that I love. They're literally prompted journals for every aspect of your game. I was not a catcher, and I think the catcher's notebook is like the coolest thing of all of them. There's pitching notebooks, coaches' notebooks, hitting notebooks, in-game, also practice. It's so good. So I'll just make sure to put that in the show notes for you to take advantage of. My discount code's AshleyB if you want a little discount. But I don't need you to use my code, you know, but it does give you a discount. But I just really want to get these in the hands of players because it's prompted. And if you get in the habit of taking notes every single time you practice, you will fundamentally be so much better than your opponent. All right. I hope that you got a lot out of this today. If you did, you guys know what to do. Please share this with one friend. And honestly, before you share it, save it. Okay, because I guarantee you, you're not going to feel 100% before every practice. If you need a little reminder to lock in before a practice, listen to this episode. And if it did help you, yes, please share it with a friend. I do think that, you know, we all said we rise together as teammates. So if you want to make your teammates more locked in, not just make them locked in, but like get locked in with you, your team. Like if you tell them to do it, you better be doing it too. Send it to a friend. You guys will all get better and feel better post-practice, because you're like, I gave everything that I had in that practice. And if you do that and that keeps working for you, please, let's talk about it in the When the Cleats Come Off community on Facebook. Or you can just DM me if you're a player, because I know you don't have Facebook. But I do want to see if this stuff working for you. And if it does, send me a message. I'll definitely reach back. I respond to all my DMs. Anyway, please go make the most of your next practice. If you feel motivated, again, share it with a friend. But most importantly, go attack your practice because you are going to make everybody around you better. Take this part seriously. All right. You guys know the drill. Make sure to stay awkward, stay humble, and keep smiling. And I'm going to add this one. Let's get our work boots on. Let's get to work. And let's make everybody around us better because of it. All right. I'll see you next week.